my first guest, Jim Patterson. He's senior associate editor at Kiplinger Personal Finance. And I was saying to him, growing up in Detroit, we used to say, how goes the auto industry, so goes the U.S. economy. And at that time, folks, it was true because we didn't have Hondas and we didn't have BMWs. And all of, none of those cars were out there, and Mercedes, but they were just a small percentage of the auto market. So the biggest item that we bought, I believe, was the automobile. Jim's going to join us to talk about the state of the auto industry. Jim, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely, man. The moment this came across my desk, I said, yeah, I got to talk to him because I still believe that much of what happens in this country, much of what we do in terms of our financial capabilities and our growth and everything else, is still related to the automobile. Is that a fair statement?
I think that is a very fair statement, Paul. Cars are one of the biggest things that any family is going to spend their money on, and the auto industry is a very big employer still in this country. You're talking about how things have changed from decades ago. Now we have a lot more foreign brands in the market, but, they employ a lot of people, too. We got a lot of foreign automakers who have got factories in many states across this country, and, of course, the big three are still going strong.
Yeah.
So, it's a key part of our economy, and it's a key part of everybody's finances.
And Jim, and as we point out again, is the importance of understanding the role that automobile and the industry plays in our economy. When I was growing up, the automotive industry we waited for the new cars to come out, and there were foreign cars, but they were less than 2 or 3% of the economy
auto. Right. Very small slice of the pie.
A very small slice, and now that's up in where 20 to 30%, isn't it? That's somewhere in that area, isn't it?
Something like that. It kind of depends on how you define it. Is a foreign car, say a Hyundai, if it's built in somewhere in the U.S., it's a foreign brand, and the profits go to the foreign automaker. But obviously, they're employing U.S. workers and sourcing a lot of parts and whatnot from U.S. suppliers. So, it kind of depends on how exactly you define American domestic brands versus foreign. But certainly, the overseas competition is a very big part of the
market. A big enough part of the pie to make a difference and to have an impact.
Absolutely. Sure.
Jim is the senior associate editor for Kiplinger. He joined Kiplinger back in December 2010, covering energy and commodities markets, autos, environment, and sports business for the Kiplinger Letter. Prior to joining Kiplinger, he covered federal grant funding and congressional appropriations for the Thompson Publishing Group, writing for a range of print and online publications. He holds a bachelor's in history from the University of Rochester, and we're so delighted to have you on the show. So, what about this auto industry? I'm going to just, in a word, is the auto industry in good shape or bad shape? And when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about it.
Well, it's definitely in good shape, and I can certainly talk a lot about why that is the case.
Okay.
It's going to be another good year for the auto industry.
All right. That's Jim Patterson. You should know this because you're probably going to buy a car. You're thinking about it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. We'll be right back with more. My guest is Jim Patterson, senior associate editor of Kiplinger Personal Finance. Now, here's what caught my attention, Jim. Car makers are in. This is from your article. Car makers are in for another strong year after a blistering 2015, but the market will start to cool off a bit. And here's the part that spells better deals for some buyers. What's happening here?
Right. Well, what's been going on is car sales have been rising really briskly pretty much every year since the Great Recession. Back in 2009, practically everybody stopped buying cars because people were concerned about losing their jobs. A lot of people did lose their jobs. The stock market was plummeting. Nobody really wanted to take the risk of buying a new vehicle back then. So sales really cratered in 2009, but they've recovered strongly every year since. And in fact, last year, 2015, the U.S. auto industry set an all-time record for the most cars and light trucks sold, 17.5 million new vehicles. That's a very big number.
Right.
And we think that this year will be another really banner year for sales. People are still flocking to dealers. They're still driving off in new cars. But I think that probably we're going to come in a little bit less than that peak we hit last year. And I still think it's going to be a great year for auto sales. I think mm-hmm. we're going to see a very big number. But I think that probably a lot of the folks who had put off buying a car in the wake of the Great Recession, they probably have done so now. So there's probably not as many likely buyers out there.
Right.
And what has also been going on in a number of cases, a lot of people have been leasing new cars in recent years. And that's very important because that means that when that lease is up, usually after 2 or 3 years, most of those people return that car and that car gets resold in the used car market. So there's
okay.
a lot of really good used cars for sale right now. That'll probably compete a little bit with the new car market. You know, there's some
So a lot of competition to the new car market. So
right.
here's where the tire meets the road, so to speak, Jim. Is this the right time? Everybody's sitting there now waiting for your answer. Is this the best time to buy a new car or a used car?
Well, I think it's a great time to buy a vehicle if you're looking for something that is smaller and fuel efficient, because those are the vehicles, whether new or used, that are not in vogue right now. You know, gasoline prices are pretty low. They're about $2 a gallon for regular national average. So a lot of people are buying pickups. They're buying SUVs. That's very popular right now. So if you're somebody who prefers a smaller vehicle, somebody who cares about getting good gas mileage, you're going to have a lot of good deals to choose from. And I think it's a buyer's market for those folks, whether they're shopping for new or used.
Right.
Now, if you're looking for a truck, if you're looking for an SUV, you're probably not going to see the really juicy deals. Again, that's true for both the used car market and the new market. Again, because this is what's popular. This is what's in demand right now. So, if you're looking for a pickup, if you're looking for a Jeep or something like that, you're going to probably be paying quite a bit and not getting a great discount necessarily or generous financing or anything like that. So really depends on who you are and what you're looking for.
What you're looking for. Okay. And the other question that my audience says to me, if I'm looking for a used car, or I don't think I get a new car, maybe a used car. Do I want to get a used car? Do I want to go to a dealership to do that? Or do I want to go to one of these many different new companies that are selling used cars? Where am I going to get my best deal? I don't know if that's a fair question or if there's an easy answer, but that's the question that I get.
I don't know if there's an easy answer to that question. I think that now more than ever, you're probably going to see good deals at the dealership, again, because of that trend of more leasing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 2 and 3 year old used cars that are being returned at the end of leases. You know, these are cars that are sold in 2013, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
They're low mileage, and the dealers, a lot of them are being sold as through certified pre-owned programs.
Right.
And that comes with a lot of inspections.
Pretty good deals.
A lot of a lot of assurances to you, the buyer, that the car is in good shape. There's usually some sort of warranty.
Hold on there a minute, Jim. Let me stop for just a minute. Jim Batterson, my guest. This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back. Jim Patterson, Senior Associate Editor, Kiplinger Personal Finance, talking about the state of the auto industry. What should I be shopping for on the car? I mean, all these cars are all pretty dynamic, but is it safety? Is it new tech? What should I be dealing with? What should be at the front of my list?
Well, for a lot of buyers, it's going to be safety, and that really is an issue of technology more and more. There's a lot of pressure on the auto industry to roll out new safety systems that rely on things like rear-view cameras. There's a lot of systems going into new cars now that will do some of the driving for you effectively, systems that will hit the brakes if you don't do it in time and the car can sense that you're coming up to a traffic jam in front of you or something like that, or systems to keep you from wandering out of your lane. So there's a lot of really new and exciting safety-related technology going into a lot of new cars, and not just luxury vehicles by any means. This is becoming pretty standard stuff on mainstream models. So if you're shopping for a new car for the first time, maybe in a few years, I think you're going to see a lot of this sort of stuff that just didn't exist the last time you were at a dealership.
And I know that the Europeans, and not only Europeans, foreign, let me call them foreign car makers, are really putting a lot of this safety technology into their cars. Are the U.S. automakers following suit, or are they leading the pack here?
Oh, they're definitely at least keeping up with the foreign competition. I mean, I can't really say that there's a clear-cut leader or winner when it comes to this sort of safety technology. I mean, you tend to see it first on luxury vehicles because those are expensive models, and it's easier for an automaker to incorporate the cost of new technology into those pricey models. Early on, we saw a lot of this sort of safety crash avoidance sort of technology on brands like Mercedes. Volvo comes to mind. Of course, Volvo has always prided itself on safety, but it's proliferating everywhere, and the American automakers are, I think, as good at it as anybody else. And so there's no, to me, there's no, no clear distinction between, domestic versus foreign here.
Okay. And regarding who's going to win the battle over me buying a car, am I more likely to buy a foreign car, foreign made car, or a domestic made car?
Well, that depends a lot on what you're looking for. If you need a truck and like a real heavy duty truck to do real work, you're probably going to buy a Ford, a GM, or a Chrysler, because those companies really, they know trucks and they sell the most trucks. And, not to cast aspersions on any other brands,
sure.
I think it's widely viewed that, the big three are the dominant players when it comes to making trucks. And that's true for larger SUVs as well. If you're on the other end of the spectrum, you're looking for a compact, you're looking for a hybrid, you're looking for something fuel efficient, the big three offer all of those as well. But that's probably where you're going to be more likely to also look at the Japanese brands, especially, those economy, more frugal cars.
Yeah.
That's been their bread and butter.
Okay. Jim Patterson, what a pleasure. And folks, as Jim will tell you, as I will, there's a lot of information out there on the net for you to find out, internet, Google, whatever. Don't buy a car in the dark. Make sure you know all you need to know. Jim, thanks for being with us. Come back and see us again soon, would you?
I absolutely will. My pleasure.
Okay. Great April to you, and I appreciate you being with us. Coming up next, more on financial literacy from a person that knows a lot about your habits. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.